some people have pointed out that the church is still growing in its understanding of the value of different states of life. And one of the signs that things have not been completely developed yet is the two saints that are honored today, Saint Hedwig, who's listed as religious, and Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, who's listed as virgin. Well, Saint Hedwig, she was a wife and mother. She had seven children. And a lot of her holiness, or evidence of her holiness, was during her married life and family life. After her husband died and her children were gone, yes, she entered a monastery. And that's why she's listed as a religious. But it's as if her whole life before she entered the monastery was discounted by this title. And Margaret Mary is also a religious, except she's listed as a virgin. So anyway, those are maybe minor distinctions. But this is the kind of thing that, it's a sign of ongoing development, but also it can get caught up in lots of little things. Well, that's one of the problems of the Pharisees, right? They get caught up in minor details and they miss the important matters. This is what Jesus says to them in today's gospel. Here Jesus is, again, using the living sword of the word, and he says, this is your problem, you Pharisees. You pay attention to the insignificant garden herbs and you neglect judgment and love for God. Your priorities are all mixed up. You're taking care of insignificant things, which is fine. You should do that. You know, be sure to give God tithes on all your income. But what about love for God? What about love? Most important thing of all. You're not doing it. The evidence, or one of the signs that the Pharisees were not practicing love, is that they were putting burdens on everybody else and they were judging everybody else. So when he says you pay no attention to judgment, he wasn't saying that you're not judging. They were judging all the time. He was saying, but they were not judging properly and they were not remaining aware of their own being under the judgment of God. The Pharisees were caught up in love of honor and enjoying being greeted because they were prominent figures, people in the society. And Jesus says, well, actually, what you think is so great, meaning this external acclaim or affirmation, is not that important when inside you're spiritually dead. This is one of the harshest things he says to them. You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk. Well, a grave is a place of a dead body. Maybe it's unseen, maybe people didn't know that there's something dead in there, but there is. And that's the important thing to be attentive to when you're talking about your spiritual life. See how the sword of the word, the living word, it's not a word of condemnation, but it is a very sharp penetration of the inner life. And that's why pondering the word is so important and so, at times, so challenging. Because our inner life tends to be mixed up. We tend to have misplaced priorities. We tend to think that insignificant things are really important when they're not. And very important things, we just forget about them. Well, today's first reading maybe helps make this distinction between, well, not only what's unimportant and important, but the distinction between evil and good. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, gives two lists. One list is the list of the works of the flesh. And he says, the works of the flesh are obvious. You should be able to tell right away, if you fall into any of these, that you're not living by the Spirit of God. You're not guided by the Spirit, and your following of the law is not helping you. And then it gives this list of the works of the flesh: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, etc. He says, if you see those things, it should be obvious that you're not being guided by the Spirit. Then he gives the contrasting list, the fruit of the Spirit. Not just what we do, but what the Spirit, or what the fruit of what the Spirit does in us. See, when we're not guided by the Spirit, that's just our flesh reigning. But when we're guided by the Spirit, we're not reigning at all. We're allowing God to reign. And this is his list of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, love, first of all, love, the first in the list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, it's a slightly different emphasis than Jesus was making about the errors of the Pharisees, but the idea that there are some things that are really important and some things that are not and some things that should be rejected altogether is, I think, what we can take from this. And what came to my mind as I was reflecting on these readings was a little incident recently in the parish. A young family came up to me, married couple, two young children, nice little family, and they had some special intentions, they asked me to pray, and then they had some religious items, rosaries, to be blessed, and then they wanted me to bless some holy water, and I can't remember what else. We had a little interaction. It was very beautiful to see a young family come to a Sunday Mass and present their needs to the Lord and ask for prayers. And then after everything was done, I blessed the holy water, I sprinkled them with the holy water. Then the husband said, you know, I really want to be baptized. I was completely taken completely by surprise. I said, oh, what religion are you? Yeah, I just sprinkled the man with holy water and blessed his rosary. And he said, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, well. And then I spoke to him about how to go about being baptized. But the reason why it came to my mind is because I think that by way of pastoral response, I think I gave him a good response. I encouraged him. I said, that's a great idea. Keep praying. You know, can go to the parish and do the preparations. And yes, you're on the way. You're on the way to baptism. But I also acknowledge that he's not baptized yet. So there's something that's still really urgent in his journey. Imagine if I would have said, oh, you're not Catholic? You're not a Christian? You're not baptized? What if I took away his rosary? I took away the holy water? Wiped off the holy water that I said, no, you're not, no, this is all out of order. You're supposed to be baptized first before you do all this. You can imagine the reaction of the man or the family would have been, I'm never going to that church again. And the reason why that came to mind is because this is something like what the Pharisees were doing, the religious authorities. They were imposing rules, religious rules, in such a way as to make it harder rather than to encourage people to follow the Lord. Well, now, as a priest, of course, I can mess it up more badly than perhaps lay people can, because people are not asking you for blessings and for a baptism. But I think the example is still a valid one, how we can impose rigid practices of religiosity on people, or expectations on them, in such a way that we become not an agent for their encounter with God, but an obstacle to their encounter with God. I'm sure you have heard many stories of people who have been turned off by the behavior of priests, and that's why they won't go to the church anymore. Well, that's Pharisees. Now, Saint Margaret Mary, the humble messenger of devotion to the Sacred Heart, she lived at a time in France when one of the dominant attitudes was infiltrated with Jansenism. Jansenism is something like Phariseeism. It was a very rigid approach to the spiritual life, and it was very demanding. And if you didn't live up to the standards, well, then you were going to hell. It was a portrayal of God as a very demanding, harsh judge. And along comes, well, Jesus revealed himself to Margaret Mary and said, that's not what I'm like. I'm love. And my heart is overflowing with love for people. And what the problem is not that they're not doing all the expectations of the Jansenists. The problem is that they're not responding to my love. So now love is also demanding, very demanding. But it's a completely different kind of demand, right? When we know that we're loved, we're moved to respond, even to the point of sacrifice, if we understand how much we are loved and we have a healthy response to that love. That's not, it's demanding, but it's not the same as rigidity. It's a healthy response to the great gift of love. And that's what the devotion to the Sacred Heart is supposed to foster. It's not just another list of all the different things you have to do in order to get to heaven. And the 9 First Fridays and the 12 promises and all these different things. Well, those are all supposed to help us, not make it harder for us or make it seem more unpleasant to draw close to God. The most beautiful and most appealing and most challenging aspect of our existence is our relationship with God. And if something is turning us off from God, that's bad fruit. It fits into the long list of the works of the flesh. One last thought, the very end of this first reading. St. Paul says, after listing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, he says, there's no law against these things. These are not forbidden by anybody who's responding to the love of God. And then he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. So you see there, again, the sharpness of the Word of God, the sword. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Not crucifying everybody else with demands and judgments, condemnation, but crucifying our own unruly passions and our own disordered desires so that we can live in the Spirit, so that we can follow the Spirit, so that we can be agents of the Spirit, meaning agents of the love of God in the world.